Hi, Dan.
Hello, Jason.
How are you today?
I'm fantastic, as you yourself can see.
I am sitting where I always sit when I talk to you for the Secret Subscriber Podcast.
I am sitting where I never sit,
which is 3 feet away from me.
A little too close, some might say.
Yes, well, microphone cables.
Yes.
They only go so far.
This is true. I guess I could be in my home, but the microphone cable doesn't go that far.
Somebody'd step on it.
Yeah, it would be a problem.
A trip.
Yeah. Well, hey, I'm in San Francisco.
Yeah.
It's exciting. I mean, not that San Francisco. I've been to San Francisco before. It's yeah. not that exciting. But, you know, that we were here recording.
Cable cars.
Yeah.
Woo. Yeah.
Alcatraz. I took a boat. Yeah. You know.
You did. I made you ride on the Sausalito Ferry.
Made me. Yes. This is, you shall ride the Sausalito Ferry as punishment for your deeds.
Well, no, that's a good bit of, it's a strange bit of public transportation to get to my house, but it actually does work.
So. It works pretty well. Plus, you're on a boat. You get to see the city. Nice.
You get to see stuff in the... as you're bobbing around out there.
Yeah.
And we were both inside at the... in the Pokey, in the San Quentin prison, which is where they sent us when we tried to get into the keynote and didn't make it.
I say, a weird keynote inside the San Quentin prison. It's a little bit Johnny Cash at Tim Cook there.
Yeah. But he's a Southern guy, so that makes sense.
It does.
Yeah, we were there at the Bill Graham Civic Auditorium, where every developer got to see the keynote without going to an overflow room, and they didn't have to wait in line around a block because they got to
wait in line in a pen.
In a pen
way
instead.
Better.
The little weave poles kind of thing that they did.
I heard
do.
It wasn't bad, actually, from the developers I talked to. They said, you know, you're outside. Nice, you felt like you didn't have to get there super early, because even if you wanted, like, you got in, right? Like, there's no overflow.
Yeah, everybody got in, so you didn't have to get there at 5 a.m. or something. I'm not sure the people who got there at 5 a.m. got an appreciably better seat.
I don't think so.
And also the way they did it, since it was sort of like the staggered rows, you're sort of like not just in your line, but you've got the people in the next line over and the next line over, and so it's like it sounds like that was a much better setup.
Yeah, so I assume they will continue doing this for the foreseeable. Well, I'm super curious about whether or not the Spaceship Campus means they'll do any of the WWC stuff down there, because they're building like a gigantic auditorium. It was like 12,000 or something.
No, it's like
2,000. It's a couple thousand.
I think it's like a thousand.
Okay, that's still big. I mean,
but it's not WWDC big,
right? And they also don't want to have to deal with shipping people all the way down and back.
Yeah,
that makes no sense.
It is inconveniently located. Although Google did it, like Google made people come to Mountain View. Which is also inconvenient, but I think Apple likes being in the city. It's exciting, and it's sort of part of their, it's part of the WWDC experience at this point, is being in downtown San Francisco. So, but it was we got there early and we waited for a long time. It was weird. They let us in an hour early,
which is unheard of. We usually go in half an hour.
In fact, they said strongly recommended to be there by 9. Well, at 8:58, they opened the doors for us. So there were some people like
the press.
Like I talked to somebody who like got caught. They went to the bathroom and they came back and everybody was gone. And they're like, "What just happened?"
The rapture.
Rapture. The press has been removed.
It was funny too, because I was trying to like meet up with some friends who we only see at these events, and I didn't have time to find everybody because Then we went in and they were lost to us.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then we sat there for an hour, and then we sat there for 2 more hours and listened to a bunch of Apple stuff.
Some of that time we had Wi-Fi too, which is pretty great.
Yeah. Connectivity at WWDC is sort of an issue anyway, because it's all these developers. There's so many more people at the event than there are at a normal Apple press event.
Yep.
And they're developers, so they've got technology and they know how to use it. And they didn't, you know, it was harder for them to keep their network running. During the event, it was fine, actually.
Yeah,
it was
the lead up mainly, when everyone was like taking pictures and uploading pictures to Twitter and all that. It was a little bit wonky, but we did some coverage. We did some live talk showing.
Yep. My friend Greg Noss is one of the people who works on that talk show app, and I got a bunch of notes for him after turns out on slow connections it was having some trouble, and its iPad split screen doesn't work great, but I've got a thing, a reminder scheduled to send him a kind of brain dump of that. But it was fun to have sort of a running commentary conversation again, because we haven't done that since we did the live blogs at Mac World back in the day.
Yeah,
so
no, I agree. It's a fun way to do it. It was nice to bring in some other voices.
Yeah.
We had Paul Kafasis from Rogue Amoeba, who was there in the audience with us.
Yes.
Which was kind of fun, too, because we also had a bunch of people who were watching the stream, which meant weird delays as they talked about things that we had seen anywhere between a minute and like 2 or 3 minutes earlier.
That was a little weird.
And we were, meanwhile, plowing ahead with, oh, this new piece of news.
Yeah.
So,
and there was Mac OS now.
There was a lot of news.
There was. There was a lot. It was a. I said to somebody, they were like, "What did you think of the announcements?" And it's always hard because, you know, what do I think? I think I went to the announcement, and I think I walked immediately afterward to the location where we recorded Upgrade, and then at that point, I think I wrote a story and posted it, and then went to. I mean, and then went to this event that Relay had last night. So I had no time really to like. Reflect,
synthesize.
Or at least very little time, and so what I came up with, and I actually feel okay about this, is it felt sort of like Apple just kind of brought a truck, like backed a truck up and dumped out like a large amount of stuff. It didn't feel like a lot of the announcements were not like, oh my God, this feature is amazing and I'm blown away. There was a lot of like the breadth of what they're doing. Like we improved this and this and this and we added these APIs over here. And it was just like they did a lot of stuff.
They made a big deal about platforms this year. And I think it became super clear. In a lot of years, the message at WWDC can sometimes be a little bit on the muddled side where it's like, okay, we got some software improvements. Got some new hardware. We got some of this. We got some of that. And it felt very much in this one where it's like, okay, we got four platforms. We're going to talk about four platforms today.
Yeah.
Bam, 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 bam. And that's great because that shows a focus. And,
right.
And I think that's what we're realizing there is like, there are these four. It kind of harkens back to when they used to talk about the three legs of the stool and how, you know, Apple or it was like Mac and iPod and. I don't remember what the last one was at that point. It was a long time ago. Might have been iPhone even. Might have been that long ago.
I think that's right.
This year, we got a very clear indication that there are four platforms. They share some things in common.
Yep.
They talk to each other in many ways. But we're not going to muddy the waters by talking about hardware products. We're going to talk about the vision of the overall platform. And for me, that felt very cohesive and it felt very organized. And it seemed for the most part like, hey, we're going to address problems people have with these things. We're going to make some improvements in other areas. And and also what was nice about it was that it wasn't in past years. Sometimes it's felt like catching up from one platform to another. It's like, oh, yeah, we had this thing over on iOS. It's now on Mac. And there was some of that. We had Siri. But a lot of it felt like all these platforms grow organically in their own directions, which is. Right. Kind of the way it should.
That is how it should be.
So I felt pretty bullish on this one, even though, you know, a lot of people go in expecting hardware, which they're not going to get, and get upset when it's not there. And I think this is far more interesting to me because it's a long-term strategic vision thing rather than just here's our next object.
Yeah, and this is Apple rolling forward too, which again is not particularly exciting. I think in a way, if you're looking for that big like. Again, that big, I'm totally blown away that they announced this kind of announcement. This was not the kind of event for that. This was we're doing the work of extending our platforms. Here's a bunch of stuff we did. Here's what's coming in the fall. You know, it's a mixed message because some of it is to developers and some of it is to the end user. Like a lot of the iMessage stuff or messages stuff, it was really that was where the, not only did it feel like it slowed down, but that was also the most consumery of all the things. But
and they left it last too, which I think was a clear indication that this was a slightly different focus.
Yeah. And then they said, oh, and there are, you can develop apps for messages. So then they pivoted into the developer thing, kind of explained why they had to talk about it. But it's a funny beast, this keynote, because it is about platforms. It is the developer conference. It's not a hardware product launch. And so it needs to be judged, I think, a little differently, because it usually is not something that is going to give you where you're going to walk away with a brand new product afterward and tell people whether they should buy it. This is about, you know, essentially everybody who wrote stories yesterday and today about what Apple announced this, you know, yesterday, they're going to have to write those stories again in September and explain what these products are when they ship, because everybody, you know, the public will have forgotten by then, mm-hmm. because that's just, You know, that's the, these are, it's a different kind of announcement.
It's an ecosystem play. I mean,
and this was a summary too. I mean, it was like, you know, that there was so much depth that they, things, so many features they couldn't even get to in 2 hours. And they stick to that 2 hour time frame. I didn't, you know, think they were going to make it, but they just basically did.
And even with the State of the Union afterwards, which delves into more technical detail,
that's still a summary.
It's still a summary because, you know, they've got individual sessions for a lot of these different things where they're going to work out all those little details. And there are some interesting tidbits in there. I watched it, but I also felt like I would kind of dip in and dip out as other people were watching it. And so every once in a while, they would start talking about things that are sort of consumer level. And I'd be like, okay, this is interesting. They're talking about some policy changes, etc. And then they would be like, okay, and here's how you implement this by putting in code. And I'd just be like, yeah, all right, okay. I'm going to go do something else right now because I don't really know.
No, that's as a non-coder, I always abandoned WWDC sessions once they said, let's dive into the code. That was my cue to find another session.
Yeah.
Or just go out and have a soda and see if there were people out there to talk to. Or
type some stuff up, write some stories. Yeah,
exactly. Whatever it might be.
Back to doing our job.
Not looking code. The code we write is words in sentences.
Ooh, deep. I like it.
And the brain has to compile it into understanding.
Ooh, there's a lot happening here. Let's unpack it.
That's what it's like here in the garage, Dan. This is what it's like out here.
It's like my English 495 seminar.
There's some like deep thoughts are happening. So packed, and then you got to kind of spend time. WWDC week's also funny because there's a lot of like, did you see, did you hear stuff? Because all those sessions are going on, and although they're all accessible afterward, which is great because I end up picking and choosing and watching a bunch of the sessions afterward, during the week, you know, we're running around, we're trying to write stories, we're trying to see people because everybody's here this week. And do all of that. Meanwhile, information is leaking out. And so you end up, like somebody says, oh, I heard this person said in this session. Or like with the file system yesterday, after all of these years, they announced a new Apple file system. And it's coming next year, but there's a demonstration version that's going to be available in the developer betas. And it's going to go on all the devices. And that like didn't come up anywhere. It was just in a session. And people saw that it was in a session and that there was like a tech note. And that word spread. Yeah. And that happens this whole week. That's going to happen where people are like, oh, yeah, well, I heard in this session they said this. And then you kind of put that on your list of, I guess I'll watch that video later.
Right. You distill sort of everything into like,
but
okay,
there's so much that
it's like a waterfall.
Yeah, it's very hard to follow it all.
And even then, I also always get interesting notes from people who go to labs and ask questions. And so stuff that's not even in any of the presentations where they're like, well, what about this thing? And someone will tell them off the record or even on the record, like, hey, you work on a product that does X. You're going to be interested in the fact that now X does Y.
And it's not even that they're keeping secrets. It's no, more it's like there's just not enough room to express everything that needs to be expressed.
Sure. I mean, it's like going to class, right? Like they don't necessarily go over every single page of every book that you're going to read.
Right.
They give you a summary and then you go off and learn interesting tidbits in other places.
You got to do the reading.
Got to do the required reading.
Yeah. So that's the other funny thing about being here this week is that you get this, like, people tell you things like, oh, I heard it's this and I heard it's that. And then you go and exchange the tidbits,
which is always fun. That's from, oh, you heard this thing? I heard this thing from this thing. And you sort of build these profiles of like, okay, there's a lot of interesting tidbits. And you're trading knowledge like it's a valuable, like it's Pokemon cards, I guess. I don't know. Is that a thing kids do still?
Yeah, I think they moved on to Pogs.
Oh, okay, good. Or Magic the Gathering, probably one of those.
Mm. Yeah. So anyway, that's we went there and we went to the relay event last night.
Good stuff.
Which was nice.
It was great to finally put, you know, so many people that you know online with actual faces.
Yeah.
Both like listeners and other hosts who we don't have a chance to meet who are from far away or just don't gather, right? So that was super fun to like put together a bunch of faces.
Yeah, yeah. Far away like CGP Grey.
Mm-hmm.
Don't gather like Merlin.
Yeah.
No, Merlin was there. It was great to see Merlin. It's always good to see Merlin. Micah Sargent was there. Yeah, that was really good. And so many listeners who came up and said very nice things. And there was somebody who said they really liked the Secret Podcast.
Yeah.
Which is always nice to hear too.
So they're listening to this right now, presumably. So.
No, they're too busy. They're at WWDC. Maybe they'll be on their way home and they'll hear this and they'll be like, oh, I wonder if that was me. And the answer is yes, it was you. I was talking about you.
It was always you. So that was nice. It's nice to get some very kind words from listeners and to get a chance to see some people in person and do a show in person. And
Do a Secret Podcast in person. We're going to do Clockwise later too.
Yeah, and there's probably nothing to talk about, though, so that's fine.
No. It'll be all bonus questions.
All bonus questions, yeah. How do you like San Francisco? Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, so...
Yeah, I don't know.
What the hell else are we talking about?
No, there, yeah. I don't know. It's the secret podcast. Who knows?
You want to talk about, like, tea or something? I don't know.
Oh, no, that'll make people angry if we talk about
tea. Okay, people get angry about tea.
You know, we did drink tea from the tea robot today, so that was... It's always good to have a robot make your tea for you.
I got a chance to go to the new Apple store in San Francisco yesterday.
Oh, yeah? I haven't been.
It's weird. It's got giant doors that open, and it's like open air. It's like you can do that in San Francisco. You can't do that in Boston.
No.
Especially not in the winter.
We have shopping malls here that are outside.
Yeah, they've started to put those in at home, too, which I find wacky.
That's a bad idea.
It seems like
not
a great idea.
No, no.
It has like... It doesn't have trees in it, but it has a courtyard. Maybe it does have trees in it. It's weird.
Because you got to go to the Genius
Tree.
Genius Grove, that's right. Not the Genius Tree. I'd like that. That would be great. It was like, hello, tree. What, can you help me with my iPhone?
It's like a...
Yes, take it to the back.
Did you ever go to the old... Like, there was F.A.O. Schwartz used to have like a talking tree, and it would sing in it. It was super creepy.
Actually, at my college campus at UCSD, one of the pieces of public art, there's lots of public art at UCSD on the campus. There's a giant fiberglass, like, chicken, who we call the sun god, and there's like, things that look like Stonehenge rocks, and there's these big nets that we always called the giraffe catchers, because they were nets that were really high up, so you could walk under them, but presumably the giraffes would whack right into them. There were no giraffes.
They all got caught.
They did. But there was this one of the pieces of public art was it's called the Stewart Collection. One of the pieces was these three trees, and there's a big eucalyptus grove that runs through the campus. And so an artist created three metal, like cast metal eucalyptus trees. So they look like eucalyptus trunks and branches, but they're not real. And then one of them is silent. One of them has music that plays out of it at random times, and the other one speaks with various recordings of like various people who say, you know, tell little stories at random times. Again, so as you walk through...
Help, let me out of this eucalyptus tree.
As you walk through the grove, you end up, you hear things like, what is there music coming from within the grove? And if you wander over, you will find this metal eucalyptus tree that's playing music or talking, telling you a story.
To me.
it was pretty wacky. That was my introduction to like public art, was like, that's really weird, but it's actually kind of fun. So yes.
Well, that's the next step in the Apple Store evolution. The Genius Grove.
Actually, they're going to take it from Game of Thrones. They're going to make it that you can just talk to any tree and it will connect you to an Apple genius.
Wow.
The three-eyed Apple genius.
Only Apple trees though.
Oh, that's, you make a fair point there. That makes a lot of sense, Dan. That came out a lot.
First time
more...
anybody said that about this podcast.
Nope.
Yeah. So other than that, we've recorded some podcasts.
And then the week is young. We're about to head in. I know it feels like I can kind of go back to sleep now. We're about to head in for day two. You got a lunch. We're going to do clockwise. I'm going to try to write a bunch of stories and then John Gruber's talk show live is tonight.
Oh yes, and last year he had Phil Schiller as his guest. So this year I assume that
it'll be
John Maltz or Tim Cook or the ghost of Steve Jobs. One of those.
Well, he had the ATP guys the year before that.
That's true. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's us. Maybe we just don't know yet.
Yeah. I really wish he'd have given us more warning.
Maybe just pick people out of the crowd. You, sir, come up.
Yeah.
You, madam, please join me on stage. Together we shall create this piece of public art known as the talk show.
The talking tree show.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't, it seems, it should be interesting. He's always got good guests. It's always fun to watch in person. I'm not a big talk show listener just because I don't have that much time in my week. I enjoy it every time.
A serious commitment of 2 to 3 hours a week.
It really is. And I feel like I can watch it once a year as a show and feel like I'm still part of the action.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's a good show. And John, puts effort into asking good questions and having people. I mean, John, the reason it's called the talk show is because he has this great reverence for talk shows of old TV, like the Tonight Show and Dave Letterman Show and things like that. And he wants to have it be a talk show. And this is the time where it really is, where he's got an audience and welcomes his guests and all of that. It is truly like a TV talk show. So that's fun.
Yeah, it's enjoyable.
Yeah. Well, unless you're here, we can say we wish you were here.
Yeah.
six-color subscribers who listen to a secret podcast.
I don't think you'd all fit in the garage.
No, we'd have to fold up the inflatable mattress for sure.
Which is unfortunate because I'm sleeping on that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it would be. I'm glad that we've run into as many six-color subscribers and readers as we have.
Yes, absolutely.
And you guys are awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for reading. Thanks
and
for supporting us. Yeah.
Exactly.
When
I say it keeps the lights on, Dan, it's that light.
That's the light?
Yeah. It's okay. A floor lamp. It's got a bulb.
Alexa, turn off the light.
No. It doesn't do that here.
No.
It turns off totally different lights here.
Well, we'll probably have a Six Colors magazine coming up at some point in
June.
Yeah,
it's going to have to be in the aftermath of WWDC, maybe even next week. We'll try to put it together.
You guys out there listening should send us, if you got questions that you want us to
ask.
Oh,
yeah.
We love questions.
Do that. Send us an email or send us a tweet.
Yeah.
That works too, the tweets.
Your tweet or email may be answered.
That's right. We try to do things by request. It's actually kind of fun to have as a writing prompt things that people say they want to hear from us.
Yes, and it helps us come up with stuff rather than banging our heads and trying to figure out what you might want to hear.
Exactly.
So thanks for that, too.
And thanks for listening. From San Francisco-ish area, we thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, Dan.
Bye, Jason.